Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Now, we can sing a song like that one, and we can affirm the lyrics that were penned by Johnson Oatman Jr. But when it really comes right down to it, many of us don't count our blessings. We're too busy chasing after all those blessings that we don't yet have. Of course, there are some folks out there who, and maybe some who are here today, who try to count blessings, but they just don't seem to get the point. They have a strange way of trying to count their blessings. And this was recently driven home to me when I became reacquainted with a particular comic strip called One Big Happy. It's put out by Rick Dettori. Frame one shows this cute little blonde-haired boy by the name of Joe. And Joe has a pumpkin stuck on his head. And the caption beneath it says, "I've never gotten my head stuck in a melon." Frame two shows Joe with a panic-stricken look on his face as an elephant is about to step on him. And the caption beneath says, "I have never been stepped on by a large animal." Frame three shows a bald-headed woman repeatedly kissing little Joe. And the caption beneath says, "I have never been kissed by a crazy bald-headed woman." Caption frame number four shows Joe suspended above the ground, and he is chained to a wall. And the caption beneath says, "I have never been chained in a dungeon and fed raw squid." In the fifth frame, there's this picture of Joe, and he's wearing tighty-whitey underwear over his blue jeans. And the caption beneath that one says, "I have never worn my underwear inappropriately in public." Frame six shows little Joe sitting on a chair, and he's trying to get his head unstuck from a desk. And the caption beneath says, "I have never glued myself to a piece of furniture." Frame seven shows Joe taking a bath, and he has this look of alarm on his face, like there's something really bad going on. And the caption beneath says, "I have never been sucked down a drain." The eighth frame shows Joe kneeling beside his bed. His hands are clasped together, and he prays, "For all of these things, I am thankful." In the last frame, there's a picture of Joe turning to a much older woman, and he says, "How's that, Grandma?" And his grandmother responds to him, "That's fine, Joe, but that's not exactly what I had in mind when I said count your blessings." Now, it's very possible that you have tried to count your blessings, but like little Joe, you got hung up with the absurd. When you tried to count your blessings, you felt like you were doing something that was really silly, just like I have felt really silly when I've tried to count sheep when I couldn't sleep. I've always wondered, why would you try to count sheep that you can't see anyway? That just doesn't make sense to me. Well, unlike absentee sheep, counting our blessings really should be a pretty easy thing for us to do, because there are blessings all over the place. You and I can spot our blessings in many, many places and at many different times throughout the day. But if you're having a hard time counting your blessings, it could very well be that you're looking in all the wrong places. You see, God tells us in His Word exactly where our blessings are located. For a believer, our blessings are above the neck. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6, words it like this: blessings are on the head of the righteous. Now, in the brief time that we have together this morning, I'd like to pass along to you just two simple thoughts related to counting our blessings. Here's the first thought I'd like for you to consider with me this morning, and it simply is this: counting your blessings is not as easy as you may think. That's right. You say, oh, that's an easy thing to do. Not necessarily. Counting your blessings may not be as easy as you think they are. Andre Crouch, I think, hits the nail on the head with a song that he came out with years ago called My Tribute. Here are some of the lyrics to that song. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Yes, that song really does word it. How can we express our thanks, the depth of our gratitude for everything that God has lavished upon us? Now, if there was anybody who could have identified with that song, no doubt it would have been the second king of Israel, King David. Would you go ahead and open your Bible right now to Psalm 40? Psalm 40. In that psalm, we discover how David connects to the song, My Tribute. Even though that song had not been penned yet, we know that David understood how it was actually a hard thing to count blessings. It was not as easy as you may think. If you would notice with me in Psalm 40, verse 5, David describes why it's so hard for us to count our blessings. He writes, "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak them, they would be," here it is, "too numerous to count." So David says, Lord, when I think about how you have blessed us, when I think about your kind intentions, your kind actions toward us, when I think about your positive attitude toward us, there are too many to calculate. They are immeasurable. They are incalculable. They are innumerable. It is as though David could say, by way of an example, even if I could count every leaf in a forest, even if I could count every blade of grass, even if it were possible for me to count every grain of sand on a beach or in a desert, even if I could count every drop of water in all of the oceans, all of the lakes, all of the rivers, none of those things, either individually or collectively, could give an adequate idea of the enormity of your kindness toward me. The combination of every kind thought, of every wonderful, loving, attitudinal perspective that God has, and his actions do not do justice to the benevolent, beneficent, big-hearted God that you are. You are magnanimous. You have a huge love for me, David says. And it blows me away. I can't even fathom how incredible you are. Your magnanimous nature is unmatched. It's unrivaled. There's never been anything like it in the past. There's nothing like it now, nor ever will be. From Psalm 40, would you turn to the 139th Psalm, Psalm 139? I'd like for you to see David's determination. What is going through the noggin of David as he is a thankful man? As I trust you are a thankful person this morning. Psalm 139, notice with me, if you will, verse 14. David writes, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. You have to wonder, what is going on in David's mind at this point? What is circulating through his thoughts? It's possible that David just finished looking at the dexterity of his fingers and marveled at what his hand was able to do. It's possible that David was considering his mind and how his brain gave him the capacity to meditate, to be able to strategize. It's possible that as David was giving thanks to God and as he was thinking of so many things for which to be thankful, David perhaps in his mind's eye was grateful that he had the privilege of being able to see the rolling hills of Jerusalem, that he was able to hear the kind words of Jonathan, that he was able to smell the salty air of the Dead Sea. It's entirely possible that David could have sat there and been grateful for his gustatory sense, his ability to taste food and to think fondly about the lox and bagels that he just got through eating or the matzo balls. It's possible that he was grateful for the privilege and so thankful that he was able to power lift the robust, heavy head of Goliath the giant. We don't know. He could have been grateful for hundreds, myriads and myriads of things. The text doesn't tell us, but regardless of what was going on in David's mind, he was struck with gratitude for his Creator's genius. How this great, magnificent God, who is so gracious, so kind, so giving, so loving, has his fingers in his life at work, busy about making David's life rich, blessing his socks off. From that particular verse in Psalm 139, I'd like for you to drop down to verses 17 and 18, if you will. And there David shifts his attention to not just random things to be thankful for, but specifically, he is thankful for God's thoughts about him. And for those of you who perhaps envision God as this harsh, dictatorial, impossible to please God who's just out to get you, that he is a God of condemnation, I would like for you to reconsider your picture of who the Lord is and take your cues from David in this text. Notice with me verses 17 and 18. David says, how precious, not how mean-spirited, not how cruel, not how condemning are your thoughts, but how precious, precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. These are positive thoughts that David reveled in that God had toward him. God has precious thoughts toward you too, my friend. He loves you. He couldn't prove it to any greater extent than the sending of his own dear son on your behalf. His actions are precious for you. His thoughts are precious for you. That speaks volumes of how much you mean to the Lord. And so he says here, how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, and I can't, is the implication here, rhetorically speaking. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Regarding verse 17, a scholar by the name of Alfred Barnes has this insightful word to say. Who could estimate the number of thoughts necessary bestowed on himself by his Maker and all the care exercised over him? Consider all the arrangements for his development and growth, all that is done to defend him from danger, all that is indispensable in providing for his wants, all that was necessary to secure the salvation of his soul. End quote. Are you a parent? Maybe a grandparent? How many times do you think about your son, your daughter, maybe your children throughout the course of the day? It perhaps is not realistic to even consider how many times you think about your child or your children. It's maybe difficult to quantify. And there are lots of categories that could come to mind. No doubt there are times when you are concerned and you think about your child's health. Maybe there are times when you're concerned about your child's social influences, the peers in his or her life. Maybe there are times when you are concerned about his or her spiritual life, hoping and praying that they are on the right track, that they are anchored to the Lord and his word. Maybe there are times when you are thinking thoughts in terms of your child's education. You're concerned that they will be able to get a good college degree or perhaps go to a certain university and make sure that they are passing and hopefully excelling in their subjects in school. It could be that as you are thinking about your son or your daughter, you're thinking about their various hobbies and their interests, the things that they are thinking about during the course of the day. Well, no matter how many thoughts you have of your children, the total quantity of God's thoughts that he has toward you is infinitely greater. There is no comparison. The task of trying to sum up all of God's, not negative thoughts, but his precious thoughts toward you is virtually an impossible task. David understood that. And that's why our first thought for this morning is counting your blessings is not as easy as you may think. And as David thought about how God had poured out, lavished upon him, blessings from the portals of heaven, he thought, there are too many of them. I can't do it. I can't count that high. Well, it's true that when it comes right down to it, counting our blessings is not the easiest thing in the world to do because there's just too many of them. On the other hand, it's important to realize that counting your blessings is not an insurmountable task. It's not. It's not like flipping a coin in the air and hoping to see if it's going to land on its edge. Counting your blessings is not as difficult as trying to roller skate in a herd of buffalo. Counting your blessings is not as hard as trying to take a shower in a parakeet's cage. I mean, we can go on with a long list of things that are almost virtually impossible, but counting our blessings is not as difficult as these things. Counting our blessings is doable. It's something that you can express. It's something that you could achieve. It's not that hard of a thing to do. In fact, think about this. God expects that you and I are grateful. It's not as though when we are grateful that he sits there on his throne and says, oh, there, finally, after years and years and years of pouring out blessings, finally my child decided to say thanks. No, it's just something that he expects of us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it very clearly says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, and you're feeling a little bit jaded this morning. You're looking over your glasses at me, and you're thinking, come on, preacher, keep it real. How can a person be thankful when a drunk driver who is not even insured comes along and smashes into my relative's car and leaves her maimed for life? How can I be thankful when I have a husband who is abusive, who ignores me half the time and the other time is ordering me around? How can I truly be thankful when I have a relative who was raped or killed? Keep it real, Pastor. How can you really be thankful? I've heard those Christians who say, I'm thankful for my cancer. I am thankful for this tragedy. I am thankful for ISIS. I'm thankful for all sorts of horrific things that happen in life. Well, notice here very carefully the text, how it reads, and we have to drill down to even a small little preposition. It does not say, for everything give thanks. That's not even realistic. The text says in the original, en pente. That preposition is in everything give thanks. In everything. That little preposition makes all the difference in the world. I'm here to tell you that even in the midst of tragedies, you can be thankful. Not for the tragedy, but in the tragedy. In the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that struggle, you can be thankful. Let me simply tell you how. You could be thankful for who God is. You could be thankful that in the midst of that situation, God loves you, He cares for you, and He is upholding you with His strong hand and His outstretched arm. You could be thankful that God is so gracious that He upholds you when you're in the midst of the pit. You can say, God, I am so grateful for you because you are so incredibly compassionate to the extent where you just pour out how much you care for me. God, I am thankful that you are using this situation. And this takes a mature spiritual perspective. I am so thankful that in the midst of this situation, you are conforming me to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus. That you realize that you need to sculpt me to being different. You need to chip away those parts of me that are not like Jesus. I'm thankful that you're using this situation to help me to be a more godly, mature believer who is walking with you. I thank you that your presence is real in the midst of all of this suffering that I'm experiencing. Lord, I am thankful that you have sent your parakletos, your comforter, the precious person of your Holy Spirit in the midst of my trial that I'm facing. Lord, I'm not thankful for this tragedy. I'm not thankful for this travesty. I'm not thankful for this trial, but I am thankful that in the midst of what I'm going through, you are there. And you are the great and awesome God that the scriptures describe. Now that's realistic. That's doable. In spite of what we're facing, we could be thankful in everything that we're facing. Now, I'd like for you to listen to the reason that the great Apostle Paul gives us for being thankful. He gives us his own reason. He says, in everything give thanks. Why? Why, Paul? Why is that important to do? so I can just walk around with a silly smile on my face all the time and be a Pollyanna-ish, a positive thinker, just thankful for all sorts of things? No. Paul tells us why. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you are thankful to God, you are walking in the will of God. Think about that. You are moving in the stream of God's will for your life when you are a person of gratitude, when you are an individual who is appreciative for who God is in your life. And you are noticing the blessings that he is pouring out, that he's lavishing upon you. You are carrying out the will of God in your life personally, individually, as you are an appreciative person. And we're going to see in just a little bit why it's extremely important to be an appreciative person. Thankfulness is doable. I want you to see that it is doable when we count our blessings. Let's break that down for a few moments. There are spiritual blessings. There are all sorts of blessings going on in the spiritual realm that God is lavishing upon you right now, whether you even know it or not. We're going to do a deep dive on this one particular verse in the future, and that is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and it recounts the spiritual element of blessings that God gives to us. Where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. You and I are a blessed people. In the invisible arena, in the invisible realm that we cannot see, God blesses us spiritually. He blesses our spirit. He blesses our soul, the inner person. But he doesn't stop there. You and I both know that he also blesses us physically. And this is brought out by Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where Paul writes, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So we know that he doesn't just meet our spiritual needs, he also meets our physical needs, and we are to be grateful for that. And even unbelievers know that they're blessed at some level. Maybe they won't identify God. Maybe they will credit the universe or some force. But even Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And so even unbelievers are physically, materially blessed by the Lord. And then we find how both our spiritual and our physical blessings are referenced by the Apostle Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, "His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." Did you hear that? Think about that. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. That encompasses everything. Everything in our life, physically, spiritually, in every way. Now, when you take time to count your blessings, and I trust that if you have not been in the habit of doing that recently, this will become more of a habit for you, that you will have a list. I was stopped dead in my tracks during our meet and greet time. I asked you to turn to your neighbor and say, "What are you most thankful for?" And someone caught me off guard and said, "What are you thankful for?" And I said, "There's a laundry list that's going on in my head. I can't just pinpoint one thing." So let me prod you a little bit very practically with a list. Of course you can add to this list, but I suggest that this is at least a part of your list. At the very top on your list needs to be God. God should foremost of everything be at the top of your list. You wouldn't even be here without God. In addition to God, I strongly encourage you to have on your list somewhere the Word of God. that God would communicate to you his will for your life, that he would share his love letter with you. Also, I encourage you to add to your list of what to be thankful for is salvation from God, the eternal life that God has given to you. Dan Garness, during our time of worship this morning, was expressing his gratitude for the Spirit of God. Yes, of course. There are so many spiritual elements that God has blessed us with, and we ought to express our gratitude back to him. So we've talked about the spiritual. Then there's the physical, of course, that we have physical life. There are people who are just pitting away their life. They don't want to be here. They don't recognize that life is a gift from God. Every day is a gift. And there are people who don't want to be here. I don't get it. It's so sad. It doesn't matter what the age is. There are people who just lose heart. And they have taken their eyes off the ball. They have forgotten what a precious gift this thing is called life. And then we ought to be thankful for so many other things, for food, for our clothing, for shelter. We ought to be thankful for all sorts of people in our lives, our parents, for starters. We wouldn't be here without them, humanly speaking. And yeah, I know our parents are less than perfect, but guess what? So is that reflection that comes back to you in the mirror is imperfect. We ought to be thankful for our parents. Not to mention, we should be honoring them. We ought to be thankful for our mate. You say, oh, you don't know, my spouse is just so difficult. It's an issue of focus. It's an issue of focus. Many, many years ago, Zanita and I were reviewing a large volume of teaching tapes from a Dr. Ellen Kriegman. And she came out with these set of tapes called Light Her Fire. That's what I was supposed to listen to. And Zanita listened to a bunch of tapes called Light His Fire. And I'll never forget, there was one thing that Dr. Kriegman shared that made so much sense. She said, for those of you who are considering divorce, I want you to think about this. Your mate has 10 strengths and 10 weaknesses. The number doesn't matter. We can say 120, it doesn't matter. When you choose to divorce your mate and you're looking elsewhere, what's really happening is you are trading one set of strengths and weaknesses for another set of strengths and weaknesses. You don't get out of a horrible marriage and get into a phenomenal marriage that is perfect. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, and we need to focus on those strengths in our mate. I'm so glad Zanita does that, because she could really think, who did I marry? I mean, this joker is my husband. What was I thinking, you know, some 32 years ago? Anyway, we are to be thankful for our mate. We are to be thankful for our child or our children. We are to be thankful for our church family. We are to be thankful for our friends. We are to be thankful for our job. And those of us who are true Americans ought to be thankful for the United States of America. What was the old saying in the 60s? America, love it or leave it. Maybe we should be sharing that message again. If you're not supportive of this country, even with all of its faults, maybe this is not the best place to live for you. For those of us who are Americans, even with all of the foibles and the faults and the things that we would change about it, we still live in the greatest nation on the face of the planet. Alongside of the Holy Land, of course. You know, that would be the other very blessed nation. But there is so much for us to be thankful for in our lives. And let me even try to get more practical, if I may. There are certain specific steps that you can take, practical things that you can do. Starting today, you say, I need for you to just give me that, you know, the ABCs, so I know exactly how to make this all happen, okay? So let me give you four quick tips how to implement immediately to express your gratitude. Here's the first one. Count your blessings daily. Count your blessings daily. Listen, you don't have to wait till Thursday. You don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to come around for you to be thankful. Does that then, if that were the case, you'd only be fulfilling God's will in your life only one day out of the year, right? And so gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude should be a daily experience for you, every day. God, thank you that I'm here. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my salvation. The Word of God for life, for breath, for friends, for the Scriptures, for Shepherd of the Hills, for living in this great nation. There's so much. That's a great way to start the day. And if you do that, guess what? You're going to be in a fantastic mood if that is your focus from the get-go. And number two, to count your blessings daily, set aside some undistracted time to focus. We live in a social media saturated society. It's getting to the point where all of us are developing ADD or ADHD. I mean, we're so easily distracted by everything that's going on, and we feel guilty if we're not busy doing something. In fact, if when someone says that they're busy, it's their little signal to tell you, I'm important. And we assume people who are not busy are not important. But we are obsessed with filling the moments of our time, when in reality, those times of silence are golden. Where we are undistracted, where we are not working, when we are not with people, when we can just stop and focus on what God has done in our lives. That's important, to get away from the commotion. Some people come to Tehachapi to get away from the commotion of Los Angeles, but you can still have all sorts of commotion going on in your head throughout the day if you're not careful. Here's the third tip. When you set aside undistracted time to focus, dwell on and record your blessings in a journal or a diary. That will perhaps help you to just write them down. And to make it very simple, you can have three categories: your spiritual category, your physical, and your relational category. That's a practical way that you can write down the areas of appreciation for you. Number four, thank God for each blessing with sincerity and emotion. It is not the universe. It's not the force, cousin it, or something else that is blessing you. It is God. James 1:17 puts it like this: every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. God is the one who's blessing you. Forget this political correct nonsense. God is the one who does that. And so sincerity involves the mind, and emotion deals with the heart. I encourage you, don't just go through a mental exercise, you know, checking off, okay, we're grateful for this, we're grateful for that, No. Allow your heart to soak up and to feel on a visceral level how God has blessed you. There is an anonymous writer who wrote a piece, which I'd like to share with you. It's called Everyday Thanksgiving. It reminds me of the importance of us counting our blessings. Listen to this. Because if you still don't see how you could be thankful, listen to this. This will help you. Even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes closed tightly against the morning lights as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are those who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, and tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our breakfast table never looks like the pictures in the magazines, and the menu is sometimes unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no job. Even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my modest circumstances were not quite so modest, thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. And so when we complain and when we kvetch and we grumble over all of the challenges that we're facing in life, if you look deeper, you will find a blessing. It's all a matter of perspective. Some of you may be thinking to yourself, if you only knew my situation. Pastor, if you only knew my world, you would understand why I'm not so grateful. In fact, I think God makes an allowance for me. I think He understands why I am not grateful. Based on my life situation, my circumstances that He has ordained, I think He gets it. I think He understands why I'm not a thankful person. Oh, really? Listen carefully to what the Word of God says about an unbeliever. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we're told that unbelievers are those who did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Hell is populated in part by people who have no gratitude, no appreciation, no thankfulness. Hell is populated by myriads of individuals who have a clenched, raised fist in God's face, cursing Him, cursing their experience, cursing other people. They remain victims, focusing on how everybody did them wrong. It's populated by the ungrateful. See, it's not just a matter of God's will in our lives that we need to be grateful, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The true people of God are the most thankful people on the planet. We're not only blessed physically, but spiritually and relationally. And so rather than being a thankless person who dishonors God, I would love it for you to be a thankful person who truly, in every sense of the word, honors our true and living God. And that can happen for you today. No matter what your trials are, no matter what your tribulations may be, and I'm not dismissing them, you can still be a person of gratitude. You can have more than enough reason for gratitude when you recognize that God, the God of the universe, gave you His very best. When He sent His Son, you know how much you love your children. Do you think God loves His own Son any less? He gave you the very best by giving Jesus, who was tortured on the timber, who experienced excruciating, horrific pain for your sins. It wasn't just that He was tortured by Roman soldiers through the instigation of Jewish leaders. He bore in his body your sin and mine, the sin of the world, all of our sin. He bore in himself for you. And you can have more than enough reason to be thankful to God for the Lord Jesus who gave you his best. And the way you do that is you recognized that Jesus died that you might be forgiven. He rose that you might receive eternal life. And he lives today that you would call upon him with saving faith. Let's call upon him together right now, shall we? Lord, it's not just out of a desire to not be hell-bound that we endeavor to be thankful, grateful to you. It's not even just out of a desire to carry out your will in our lives that we are appreciative. We can't help but be appreciative, Lord. We see how you have poured out grace upon grace upon grace in our lives. You have withheld from us that which we deserve in terms of your wrath. You have opened the floodgates of heaven and have blessed us way beyond anything that we can think or imagine. And so, Lord, as we have thought through today about this whole issue of thankfulness, we recognize that counting our blessings is harder than we can think because there's too many of them. On the other hand, it's not an insurmountable task. And so, not just with sincerity, but with heartfelt gratitude, we thank you, we praise you, we worship and adore you. In the glorious name of Jesus. And all of the thankful people of God said, amen, amen. Amen.